strength. I need your support. I need you to listen. Because you're going to find out that this Bible is a wonderful book. And we've heard about Elijah, Elisha, and all these things. These great acts that Elijah did, but God used the man. He didn't do it because of his own strength or might, but it was because he walked with God. He obeyed the Lord. And James said he was a man of like passion. In James, the fifth chapter, see, he was a man of like passion, but he prayed earnestly. Okay? In other words, he had problems like you. We're talking tonight. Okay? But he prayed earnestly. Thoughts troubled him. He had fears. He was afraid of Jezebel. Okay? He ran away from her. And he was so afraid of her that he ran away from her. So God, after strengthening him, because the forces that are coming in the church or has been in the church, it's going to take men and women of God that God will raise up with a ministry that is so powerful that will drive the devil away from us. And instead of us running, he will drive the devil from us. And he says that Elias was a man, James 5:17. And we will get to more of that in the future. But this is wonderful here. He was a man of, subject to like passions. And you follow the scripture and read the Bible. As we are, and he prayed, there's a word, earnestly, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, you think Elijah just got up and went to Jezebel or Ahab like that? Huh? He prayed. How long? I don't know. Because you didn't hear very much about him until the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. He just appeared. Now Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. He just came on the scene suddenly. And then he disappeared suddenly. Then he came back on suddenly. Then he disappeared suddenly. And then suddenly we see him with Moses and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But this time on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was not, or they did not appear in fleshly forms. But day three was in that glorious form. They had that. So you've got to understand now, the ministry that is going to be sent by God, Elijah ministry, it's not going to be like the ministry that he had when he stood before the physical Jezebel and Ahab. It's going to be a supernatural, glorified ministry that's not going to run away from Jezebel. It's not going to get tired or weary. It's not going to run and sit under a juniper tree and have all kind of thoughts and afraid about them taking his life. Do you understand that? Amen. He's going to stand there and push the devil back. And so he prayed earnestly. And the next verse says that, and then again he prayed. The thing is that we pray a little bit and we quit. But he's going to bring a church. It's a praying church. That's going to pray again and again and again. And never surrender. And never give up to God. The problem, why are you having so much problem? Why are we having so much problem? When last have you sit down and pray? Huh? Yesterday, my wife and I had a good time. And she's just all excited yesterday. I mean, to this morning. You know what? Because we had some of her devotion from yesterday left over. And she brought it to church. The first chapter of... First Chronicles chapter 16. And that was a powerful time of fellowship. And then we went in the Word, and she keep begging for more. She can't wait. She reminded me, said, Do you want me to read for you? Because you want to know some more. And excited. And we've never felt closer than... Can you imagine if we were reading together all our lives? Yeah? I mean, it was wonderful. She looked more beautiful to me. I mean, she's calling me handsome. She's asking me, what do you want? You want a secret? Get your wife and read and talk to her about the scripture. And she said, honey, you want anything? And I'm saying, now, this work. I like this one. And she's been so sweet since I'm sharing scripture with her. Anything I want. She's sharing and blessing. What a wonderful. And I said to myself, this lady's so pretty. Inside and outside. She's so beautiful. And what if I had cast her away? You know, look what I would have missed. Because before when I was in my, you know, my vain thoughts was lodging in me. Oh, she's, you know, and you have, you know, the, come on, you look at me. You know those little vain thoughts? Me? Those vain thoughts? You know, you're hanging your head and smiling. You know those vain thoughts? Well, she's not, well, she should do it this way and I'm right, but she's wrong. Those are vain thoughts. You're both wrong. And sometimes you're more wrong than she is. Sometimes I'm more wrong than, vain thoughts. But you know, anytime you feel that you're right, you're wrong. Your wife wins. You know, that's a vain thought. Because you know, a vain, no. So, anyway, how did I get on that? But we just had a good time yesterday. So here's what now. It's because we were meditating and so on. So here's what, and he prayed again. And even the heavens begin to respond. When you pray, if you pray and love God, not only will a woman, your wife, respond to you, but the kids. Even the dog is going to love you. My goodness. And you want the dog to love you? And you start praying and praising God. That dog going to wag the tail. And he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain. And the earth brought forth, look at what? Fruit. That woman that you think, ma, she's so terrible. You're going to see some fruit come forth. She's going to say, my God, I got the most beautiful wife. She's pretty. You know what's happening? What's going on? Your vain thoughts are leaving. She's not good enough. She don't do what I want to do. Well, what do you want her to do? Bow down? No, that's not what it is. Come on, people. See, here it says, he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner, that's what I'm trying to do right now. Sinners, look at me. Sinners. I want you to throw your vain thoughts away. I'm trying to convert you. He would convert, that include me, converting myself also. Let him know, pastor, here it is, that he which converted the sinner, the congregation, from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death. And what? And hide or cover a multitude of sin. Are you all listening to me? I'd like you to look me straight eyeball. Look at me. Okay? I don't want you to pretend like you're super and you're searching the scripture and you're so spiritual. Look right in my face when I'm speaking. Yes, I'm talking to everybody. You just cover a multitude of sin just by converting a sinner. And you think, oh God, they're so bad and terrible. Just convert them to the Lord, not your ways. And my problem, I've been trying to convert my wife to my ways, my thinking. It don't work. But I found out it worked better when I try to convert her to Christ. Amen. Are you the church didn't say amen loud enough? Amen. You want your husband? Convert him to Christ. Okay, let's go back. But here's what this man Elijah and the work he did. What was his work? Converting the sinners. Covering. So the Elijah's ministry, we're going to get into that. I'm going to show you eventually what he's going to do when he comes. Amen. His ministry. Because why is he coming unless he has a message? He has to have a message. Just like when he went to Ahab and Jezebel, he had a message. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 there. Elijah had a message. Everywhere he goes, he has a message. He only shows up in the time of crisis, in the time of great need. And here was a time of great need in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. No. Here, let's all read. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words. And now, another word came to him. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get out. Go hide yourself. Get hence and run and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. You get the word of God? So Elijah has a word from God. Every step it was directed by God. See, the church, we're doing a lot of stuff without being led of God. We come up with program. We come up with all kind of, I mean, even the church in Thyatira allowed that woman, I mean, amazing. Where was the discerning, like in Jude? In Jude chapter, it is only one chapter, but in the first verse there. When Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, okay, the half-brother of Jesus says, give us that beautiful epistle in, he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, notice who he's talking to, the beloved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Notice on the line that. For the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, that's the faith. That's the faith that Elijah is going to come and restore. Amen. Amen. Because the church has to be, when Christ returns, he cannot come back for a church that's corrupt. That's not in order. But he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And he's coming back for a church that's already judged. If you will judge yourself, you will not have to be judged. Come on, son. Say amen. And judgment begins where? In the house. At the house of God. And then, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. You will not be judged. So, here, Jude is saying that the message that once was delivered unto the saint, he said now, to exhort, I'm writing to exhort you that you should earnestly contend. That's warfare. Contending is warfare. Okay? You're not going to let the devil have it. You're going to keep your confidence. You're going to contend with those vain thoughts in your heart and wash yourself from those vain thoughts and get rid of them. Okay? And which was once delivered to the saints. Why is the contending? Why is Elijah has to come back? Why? Because the church has lost the like Paul said, blindness up into them. They can't hear. They can't see. So God has got to send a message that will open blind eyes. He did the same thing with Paul when he sent Paul in Acts. That's it. Come up here, girl. Woo. Said, hallelujah. When he sent Paul to the Gentiles to do what? To open the eyes of the blind. To turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. That, and he goes on, that they might have or receive an inheritance among the brethren, among the saints. So that's what Elijah's ministry has to do, is to turn the hearts of the children. Paul's ministry was to turn the hearts of the Gentile. But now the Gentile age is coming to an end. And Christ is to return and establish his church. So as the Revelations 11, the Gentiles are now trampling the courts, the temple, okay? And the church is losing temple worship because of the spirit of Jezebel. Elijah has to come back and restore temple worship. Restore true worship. Break down the idols of Jezebel that has been built up for the past 2,000 years or so in the church. He is to break them down and to restore and rebuild the altar and lay the foundation of the apostles. Are you with me now? And prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into that perfect unity of the faith. Under the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So for these. For there are certain men. Notice. Crept in. There you had the 450 false prophets. And then you have another 400 or so of the groves. 850. Well, that's a big large army of false prophet. And look at all that had crept into the church. Because while men slept, an enemy sowed tears into the wheat field. So it said, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. And ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he once knew how that the Lord, then he goes on, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroy them that believe not. Now, it's the unbelievers in the church. Okay, and he goes on and give you a list. There's a lot of things crept in. Okay, even the spirit of Balaam crept in. The spirit of Cain crept in. Read that chapter. I don't have time right now, but read that chapter. All of that thing came in. And the church had men that was preaching that Jude called them wandering stars. Of whom these reserved the blackness and the darkness of until raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Do you understand what crept in the church? And the flood, the dragon issuing out flood after flood, not just one time, but from the garden, from even in around the throne of, in ages gone by, in Ezekiel 28, he's been issuing a flood to destroy the work of God. He was in the garden. The heads were already forming in the garden. Yes. Revelation 12. Yes. The head of the dragon. These are governments opposing to the woman that brings forth the man child. The church. See? Christ and his church and his bride. So there's a force here. But you have to contend. That's why when you come to church, you cannot come fighting one another. Okay? Your battle is not against your brother or your sister. It's not against the pastor. Your battle is against the devil. He is your enemy. Remember now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you think you're wrestling against your kids, you're making a mistake. It's the spirit that's behind them. That's behind them. That's controlling. That person that will not make a change. But they come to church year after year. And they won't make a change. And you think you're wrestling with that person? No. It's the devil that's behind it. It's the enemy of God. And you've got that want to take you out of church. Want to destroy you. That you don't realize that the serpent is on your track. But if you turn around and crush the head of the serpent, because he's under your feet, and use the weapons that God has given you, you're going to see what will happen to you. So he goes on and he tells you in Jude, you can read the rest, but he tells you how to overcome it. He tells you that he has a message that we have, pulling them out of the fire. And the church in Thyatira was a fire. They were burning up the souls. But there were still a few that had not bowed or defiled their garments. And if you have a message, and Elijah is going to come and restore, and a message that can pull them out, and love, right? Restore love to the church. You will see what God will do. Okay. And then Elijah just appeared suddenly on the scene. Now, we notice him here again, and we will go back to the 19th chapter. We're not finished here yet, but let me move on here. This morning we had in chapter 19, we come to the end of it. I want to go right back there real quick to the end, the last verse. And it shows us now that in the very last verse, that
he returned
back from him. Yes. And he slew them and boiled them, the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Hold on there. Now, the last verse, look at what happened now. If Elijah was a type of Christ, and Elisha was a type of the church, okay? What happened? Elijah touched for a call Elisha. But notice what Elijah had to do. Elijah had to get rid of every earthly thing, Elisha, that would connect him to the world. To even human. He had to be totally cut off. And Christ is coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or is not connected to anything that belonged to the world. Amen. He went back and he kissed goodbye to the closest. He went back and he broke the yokes. You got to get rid of the yokes. Everything that bind you. He killed the oxen that he was using and boiled them and had a feast. Amen? You're going to have to have a feast out of all your worldly connection. All of the vanity in your heart. You're going to build a bonfire of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost sanctify you and burn up every connection that you have to the world. All the connection. My Lord. So that there's nothing inside of you. That when the prince, you can say like Jesus, the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. When you sit there There's nothing boiling inside of you. You got to build a fire on the outside and burn him up, and not inside. The only fire that you have inside is the Holy Ghost. You don't have a fire against your brother or against your sister. That fire will burn you up. So you got to kill your oxen. And then you burn up that yoke and you come under another yoke, the yoke of the apostles. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you take the yoke of the 12 apostles. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you remember in the Old Testament, there was 12 oxen. But the 12 oxen had their inner parts, in our their back parts, where was it turned? Their back parts was turned inside. Their back parts was not pointing in the face of their brothers or somebody else. And you got to learn how to turn your back parts inside and not outside. So people see your ugliness, your nastiness. People begin to see how moody you are, how God knows how touchy you are. It's because your back part is outside. And you know what happened to the back parts. You got to hide that. But you let that ugliness shows. And it spills in the church. And everybody see, what a ugly brother. What a ugly sister. Every time she's so moody, you're ugly. Because your inner part is not turned away from the face of everybody else. You're sticking it up into their face. But turn around. And turn your inner part in there. So they see your face. They can see the glory of God in your face. That's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. They don't want to see your ugliness. They want to see the new you. The joy. The peace. That's coming out of you. So he went back. And he broke it up. And he killed it and boiled. And now he went to follow the man of God. And then look what he did. And gave unto the people. And they did eat. Then he arose. And went after Elijah. He didn't stay all night for the party. Like a lot of us. We don't know how to say no and goodbye. We got to stay until the last one go home. The last. You know. We're going to squeeze it. And drain it. See, this Christmas season is coming. God, you got a lot of squeezing, eh? You're going to juice it, eh? Whatever year you've been juicing it. I'm trying to tell you to turn your back part inwards. Can you do that? I said, can you do that?
Yes.
Can you turn it tonight?
Yes.
So nobody see the ugliness.
Yes.
Huh? Well, I'm going to show. Can you turn around? Turn around your back part. I was going to say another word, but I got to be careful. I was going to say your backside, but I'm not. I dare not say that. You got to turn that ugly side of you and get rid of that, because we all have a ugly side. But we have to turn the back part inward. It's in the Bible. And then notice what he did. And he did that. And what was the next step? And then he ministered unto Elijah. Now let me come. When you come now from there to chapter 20, what happened in chapter 20? Elijah and Elisha disappeared. Suddenly he came. Suddenly he's gone. He disappeared off the scene. But a man, the church went, Elisha went with him. Now look at it. See, the Elijah's ministry has to prepare the church.
Yeah.
He's not just going to come back and suddenly, you know, we like to see the miracles and the working and the signs and the wonders. But look as if the church is off the scene.
Yeah.
It's like the woman fleeing in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
Okay? It's like she's hidden, but she was comforted.
Yeah.
For time's time. And half a time, whatever, Elisha and Elijah just suddenly disappear off the scene. You don't know where they are. I mean, you just don't know where they are. Okay? And it looked like they're gone. And there were other came on. Even other prophets came on. There were other ministries going on right there. You can read the 20th chapter for yourself. There was wars, and Ahab went to war and all of that. Ben-Hadad. And chapter 20 and 20, chapter 22. Okay? Read all that. It's beautiful. And then go to chapter 20, what is it? 21? Help me. You have 20 and 21? And what's the next? I need to, I don't have the number. What's the next chapter? How many chapters there? 22. So he goes to chapter 20. Guide me. Chapter 21. But 17. What happened in 17? When then he suddenly came back on the scene. But I want you to notice that he only come back when Jezebel acts up. Well, look at it there. What chapter?
Chapter 21, verse 17.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
In chapter 21, verse 17, read on. The Tishbite. But if you notice and read a little further up, what happened, why he came back? Because Jezebel killed the prophet. You get that?
Yes.
Elisha showed up when Jezebel began to kill the prophets. She killed, I wish you could find that. She killed Naboth and took his possession, took his inheritance. So Jezebel, that spirit, wants to kill the men of God, the prophets, wants to kill the church and take their possession. But the Bible tells us, let no one take our crown. And Jezebel, in these last days, want to kill the prophets and take their inheritance. Lie on them. No matter how, she don't care how she gets it. And because she has a very weak husband, because society is weak, the government is weak, all over the world, the church is weak, has become weak, because she's lost it. And the spirit of Jezebel is teaching strongly against God. So, Ahab want a field. He want Nabal, I'm cutting it short. He want Nabal's vineyard. He wants the church. He's contending for the true church.
Verse 16. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead.
Wait, no, but before that, you got to follow. Before that, he asked Naboth for his vineyard. Okay? But Naboth said, no, I'm not going to give you. See, the devil wanted to take the church over. But because still there's some powerful church and ministers, say, you're not going to get this vineyard. We're not going to give up our inheritance. We're not going to lay down to you. And Ahab start pout and puff. You know, give me your vineyard. I'll give you money and I'll give you another vineyard. Wouldn't the devil like to exchange the grace that was once given to the saints? Wouldn't the devil like to give the church something else? Huh? But nothing will work for the church but what Christ brought to the church. Nothing will work but them saints, the message that was once delivered to the saints. You cannot exchange it. You cannot. There's no substitute for the truth, for the gospel. So Ahab, pout. Persecute.
And it came to pass after these things.
That Nabal had a vineyard. Read on quickly. Which was against. Which was hard by his vineyard. I mean the world, you know. We in the world, but not of the world. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard. And it, or, for, it said, or, if it seems good unto thee, I will give thee the worth of it. Is that what the devil does? Money, fame, fortune? Huh? I'll give you, you become a popular singer, a popular this movie star. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just sure you become a popular, you become rich, you become an invent. You know, and that's not wrong with this in a sense. But when it's trade you for what Christ gave you, it keeps you out of church. It makes you leave the church. The devil don't mind giving you anything. He said to Christ, I'll give you the kingdoms if you'll bow down. And so Ahab wanted to give exchange. But the true church will not exchange. So the church for a while disappeared in preparation for the great or the greater attack of the enemy. Amen? Okay, now where were we? So Naboth wouldn't give it. So he said, the Lord, God forbid. God forbid that I should quit preaching the resurrection. Quit preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Quit preaching the establishment of the kingdom. That Jesus is going to come back and become king. God forbid that I should preach that Christ is the only way. There's only one way to the kingdom. God forbid that I should change the doctrines of the apostles. Amen? So you have a church that's opposing him. And so he's not going to take it easy. But verse 5 says, yes. See, why are you so sad? Why are you so moody? Because, you know why? Because the devil has captured everything. The old world wandered after the devil. Except those are written in the Lamb's book of life. Except the elect. And there's some people that are not going to bow down. They're not going to submit to the devil. They're not going to exchange their vineyard. They're not going to exchange their father's inheritance, what was given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it passed on to us. We're not going to exchange it. Hallelujah. Praise God, church. Don't just sit there and let the devil lie to you. Come on. Shake the devil. Woo. I know your outward man suffer, but though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a fire on the inside of you. My God, I can still praise him. Now, so he said unto her, you see Jezebel, come on now. Ahab couldn't, but she's going to solve the problem. She has the answer. Okay? So here now, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, she asked him, why are you so sad? And said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he said, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, wait. Is that all? That's what the world is saying. Is that all? Yeah? Why you, you know? Is that all? See? He said, dost not thou govern? You're the governor. Amen. You got the civil law. The power is in your hand. You. Is that all? You got the fiery furnace. That if they don't bow to your image, you're going to cast them in the fiery furnace. Why are you sad? Arise. And eat bread. Go ahead. Don't even worry about it. And let thine heart be merry. And I will give, notice, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Now, When that woman, you suffer that woman to come into church, what do you think she's doing? She's turning over the vineyard of Christ. You don't understand that, my beloved, as a vineyard. Christ has a vineyard. And the Father is the husbandman. And Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. You don't understand, that's what the devil wants. Because he's got all the world wonder after him. But the Lord has a vineyard church. And the devil, no matter what, cannot be happy until he destroys the church. The woman. So Jezebel said, I'll do it. So there's going to be a spirit. There is a spirit of Jezebel today. So it's going to take a ministry of Elijah to root it out. Before the coming of the Lord. Because if he come and find that spirit, then there will be a curse. He cannot establish the kingdom with the church in that position. Or that condition. Yes. So you got to get all of that teaching of Jezebel out of your mind and your heart. So she wrote letters. Notice. Turning away from the scriptures and have another message. To Ahab. In Ahab's name. And sealed it with the seal. And sent the letters unto the elders. To the nobles. That were in his city. Dwelling with Naboth. Civil government is no friend of the vineyard. Amen. Of your position or your possession. Go on.
And she wrote
she, because you see, she has, she's in the church, but she has civil government on her side. Because she's not of God. She's of the world. And she wrote letters. And she wrote letters. We've had that, right?
Yeah,
letters saying. Notice she's doing all the religious, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth and I among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, the devil, before him to bear witness, false witness, against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God. No, to who? God. But she don't really mean Jehovah God, but she's lying. And the church is going to believe, oh, Sister Jezebel is real good now. She's pointing out, getting rid of, purging the sins in the church. Jezebel cannot do that. Okay? Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out. Quickly just get him out. And stoned him that he may die. That's a quick. The Thyatira, a quick suffering, a quick judgment that's coming to the church. That if God doesn't stop it with the coming of Elijah, there, no flesh will be saved. Now, here's, read on, here's what's there.
And the men of the city,
even the elders, read on, and nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto him, unto them, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them. They did not even remember Mount Carmel and the first coming of Elijah and what happened. How many people remember that now? Hardly. So now he's going to have to come this time, not in the flesh, but supernaturally in the spirit. They proclaim a fast and set Nabal among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stone that he died. That's how quickly the devil wanted to issue water against the woman. Persecution, suffering. And unless she's carried with two great wings as an eagle. The Old and the New Testament. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I was going to say law and grace, Moses and Elijah. Ministry. We're in for trouble. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Notice, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. But notice now how long Elijah was gone. How long there was a church, another church. See, another church going to surprise the devil. I mean the same church, but there's a church within the church that's in preparation, that's hidden. They're called the hidden ones. The secret ones. Hallelujah. They've been getting filled up with oil in their lungs. And when one church burnt out, another church is going to come on the scene. The same church, but a brand new visitation of God. And notice Elijah is going to come now. Not to Mount Carmel, but in the aid of the church. In the aid of Naboth. Because they think that Naboth was dead. But though he's dead, he's still speaking. Because God testifying for him. Amen. And when they think the church is dead, God's going to raise us up. And we're going to speak like we've never speak before. Because reinforcement is going to come to the church against civil government. And against all the work and the marks of the beast. You go and name it. All these end time opposition. Notice it there. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise and go to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard in the church of Thyatira, in the vineyard, in the home of the saints, in the church, all around the world. He's right there hiding and claiming it. That's his. But that's not his. Christ, they killed Naboth, right? Yes. But Christ, they killed him, right? But his was his vineyard. Yeah. They slew Christ. But is his vineyard. And they think he's dead. But he's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He rose from the dead. And they think Satan think he's going to have possession. And they kill the Prince of Life. But God raised him up from the dead on the third day. And exalt him at the right hand of God. And he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thou says here, arise, verse 18. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to take possession. And that's when the Elijah ministry is going to kick in. Because he's not going to get the church. He's not going to get Israel. He's not going to get the world. Are you understand that? Because it's Christ. It's the inheritance in Christ. And the dead Christ rose. And there's a ministry that's on the Lord's side that's going to fight for the church. Fight for Christ's inheritance. And thou shalt, in closing, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou killed and I also taken possession? Did you all kill Christ so we can possess? Oh no. Oh no. None of the princes knew. All right? Had they known that this was the Prince of Life, they would never have slain him. But they made a mistake. And by doing it, when they slew Christ, he came to destroy the work of the devil. And by dying, he gave a death blow to Jesus Christ. when Ahab and Jezebel did that, they gave a death blow to their government and their system. And that's what's happening in the church. When you touch Christ's church, that's a death blow. Amen. And as kill, said, as thou kill, and also taken possession, and as thou speak unto him, and thou shalt speak unto him, say, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick the blood, thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, notice, as thou found me, O my enemies. Let me tell you, Satan has no place to hide. He's trying to run because he knows his ends is short. So where is he trying to hide? He's trying to come and hide in the church. But Elijah's ministry is going to find out his hiding place. And he answered, as thou found me, O my enemies. And he answered, I have found thee. Yes, I found thee. Because thou hast sold thyself for evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You can read that in the scriptures, right? And like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel also spake the Lord, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezebel. You know, we know what, you see, and the dogs going to eat the Jezebel in the church. You see, the dogs, they represent the nations. Okay, that's going to eat her and burn her and destroy her. Because the same spirit, Jezebel or Babylon, they're all the same spirit. All right, can we close here? Him that died of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that died in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominable in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. It came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou, O Ahab, humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. What a God. Did you get something tonight? Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.